Romans chapter 3. As we look in the Word of God today, appreciate you being here. The Lord sure has been good to us here. And we want to thank Him for that. Great is His faithfulness. In Romans chapter 3, we're going to pick up reading verse 21. It says, but now, forget about yesterday. It's in the past. Forget about what you used to be. You're not that thing anymore. Don't glorify sin by telling people what you used to do. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. As we look in the Word of God today, I want to preach to you on what we experienced in Christ. What we experienced in Christ. There are some things that actually happen, and if you're saved, you know every one of these. You've been through all of them, and they've been worth every bit of it. And these ain't bad. These are the good ones. You might have been through some bad times, but He is there with you. But these are the good ones we've had. And I want to preach to you on that day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love You. Thank You, Lord, for letting us be here and be alive today. We pray, God, that You'll move in our service today. Lord, that You'll help us to understand the Word of God as it's written on the page. And we pray Psalm 119, verse 18, open Thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. And I pray, God, that You'd help me today, Lord God, as I preach according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine for us. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray and for His sake. Amen. As we look today about what we experienced in Christ, if I were to tell you about my experiences, it would be from my life and not yours. If somebody tries to tell you something that's their life experience with somebody else, there's a word for that. It starts with L. Do y'all know what that word is? It's called a liar. I had a fellow tell me one time this great big long story about this thing happened to me. I said, that's funny. That just happened to J. Harold Smith 40 years ago on the radio. I heard him tell it the other day. He said, oh, you listen to him too? I said, yeah, I listen to him too. Liar. I don't just mean loser. That means liar too. They stole it from me. It's for little, for my gang sign. Yeah. But anyway, as we look at this thing, if another man heard me, he might relate with some of my life experiences. He might say, yeah, I remember going through that as, you know, whatever it was. But if a woman hears us say it at all, she will say, quote, yep, that's how they all are. Uh-oh. Don't y'all laugh at me. Y'all know y'all say that stuff every time we tell you, that's how they are, that's how they are. You look at me with your arms crossed and all like that, and then look behind you, Trey. Yeah. I know how y'all are. I've been married 30 years. I've learned to just go, but it is true, honey. See? Listen to me. If I were to tell you about your experiences, you're telling me about mine, we might could relate, but ultimately, all joking aside, we don't have a lot in common outside of maybe a few experiences. But if we get in Christ, there are some things we've experienced that everybody's in Christ has experienced. We all can relate to those very things. The first one's found in verse 21 down to verse 23. Here's the first experience. We experience faith. We experience faith. The presentation of faith shows up in verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The presentation of faith. I doubt very many of you could quote the first five books of the Bible. But you can tell me when you got saved. You can tell me when you believe, when you had the faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You listen, the law came and showed you as a sinner, but then that presentation of faith, you did something with it other than just say, I know there's a person called Jesus that lived and died on this earth and God rose him from the dead. All of a sudden, now you believe that thing. You actually believe he did that for you. And it was presented in such a way to you that somebody didn't say, he didn't just die for the sins of the world, and they turned their hand and said they'd done it for you. And it was presented to you that you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you can believe and be saved, and you did that very thing. You experienced faith. And verse 22 says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. God shows you not only that you experienced faith and it was presented to you, but then you experienced, as you looked at it, you saw the person of faith. Again, I've said the last few weeks that a lot of folks, they come and say, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I prayed right. How about this? It's not the prayer of faith. It's the person of faith that saves the sinner. And the reason I say that, you have to call on him as individual as your DNA is. And there's no two people have the same DNA. And as we look at Christ, we say, we come to a person. We said, Lord, will you save me? He said, yes, I'll save you. He's already got it written down in his word that he will. And as we come to him as the person of faith, we're not trusting a plan. We're not trusting a prayer. We're trusting the Lord himself to do the saving. And he makes mention of that verse. He said, upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. We all got saved the same way. When folks come up with two or three different plans of salvation and try to say it happened like this and happened like that, I see right there is no difference. And it don't say at the end of it in this dispensation. That's adding to the word of God. It says there is no difference. When I see somebody come along and say, well, in the Old Testament, they did it different. He said, there is no difference. Well, in the millennium, there is no difference. If you come to him, you come to him by faith. This Bible, when asked the very question, when the Philippian jailer was out there, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. April 7, 1994, I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and was S-A-V-E-D saved. There's nothing I could add to that thing. There's nothing I can take away from it. It was all on him, and I see there is no difference. And the reason there is no difference is because sin is never different. And the purpose of faith in verse 23, he said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When we experience faith and we come to him, we see the purpose of faith is to believe that he can take away all the sin. Jesus didn't say, I come to save them in their sin. He said, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, he said, I come to save them from their sins. Amen. Not to leave you stewing and settling in them, but to take you out of the thing. Why? Because he knows if he don't take you out, you'll never get out. He knows if he don't open up the door and let you in, you'll never get in. And he comes to you with the purpose of faith being that there's no difference because all have sinned. And if all have sinned, it don't matter what the sin is. If all have done it, he said they all come short of the glory of God. There is, listen, regardless of what human opinion is, there is a difference in sins. But they all wind up in the same place. Some are greater sinners than other ones, but they all wind up in the same hell. They all go to the same lake of fire. They all wind up with the same outcome. But here's the backside of that. There is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Once you meet the glory of God and you see the purpose of the faith, you meet the person of faith, and you had the presentation of faith given to you, you experience faith when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not like you just said a magic word, abracadabra, and God did something. No, that's Disney's wickedness. We're talking about the Bible where God says, if you come to him, I'll in no wise cast you out. And listen, when we come to him and we have the purpose of the thing. The purpose is the glory of God. Amen. We didn't get saved so we could brag on us. We got saved so we could brag on the Lord. And he is worthy of all glory, honor, and praise because there's none like him today.
That's right.
There never has been any like him. And I see that we not only experience that we have in Christ is faith, but also if you look down at verse 24, there's another experience there. And it's called this. We experience freedom. We experience freedom. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justified how? Freely. See, the cost of his freedom is this. He took upon him your sin. The lights went out on the Lord Jesus Christ while he's on the cross because God put on him the sin of the world. He became sin for you that you know sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. And by being made, we experience freedom. And we experience freedom to walk around on God's property, breathing God's air, with nobody to tell us we're trespassing anymore. And because we've experienced freedom, we are truly free. He said we're justified freely. How do we get justified? He died for us. We didn't die for him. He got up from the grave for us. We didn't get up from the grave for him. He shed his blood because your works wouldn't get you there. He did that. We experienced freedom in him. Listen, if you ask any man that's ever been arrested, that's the worst feeling in your life. And they put them hands behind your back, shove you in a car, and there's nowhere to go. There's four cops had to arrest a man up in town one time, and he kicked out one of the patrol windows. And one of them cops got up in there, a big old cop, big old burly cop, and leaned in and said, "All you need is a good whooping, and you'll settle right down." He said, "I'm settling down right now." He thought that guy's coming up in that little short space in that car and going to give him one. I believe he had got it when he was 3. He'd have been better at 20. What do y'all think? My wife heard a little kid cuss his mama last night. I said, "I'd still be getting whooped right now if I did that."
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what. I heard my Grandpa McDaniel's voice clear as day, and he's been dead since the 90s. When I heard that, I thought, "Oh, my word. Come here." I even got scared. I thought, my goodness, he'd still been whooping somebody here 30-something years later. I'm telling you, these people nowadays, listen, all they need probably is a good whooping to clean up that mouth. But if you don't clean it up forever, you come to Christ. You get freedom. Like I said, when they put them cuffs on you and shove you in that car, you're in there and you don't know what you're going to do, they just take one finger and grab the middle chain of that cuff and lead you anywhere you want to go. But you only want to go to jail is what they told me. I mean, the guy told me this. They run you in there. They take you in there. And if you give them a hard time once you get in there, you'll find out there's 10 of them can hold you down and fingerprint you. Do you know that? They ain't playing with you. You know why? You're not free anymore. They'll hold your hand down there and fingerprint you. And if you try to act up during them pictures, you'll do it with your stomach being punched. Oh, the cameras were off. We didn't know that. Mm-hmm. We know. They got a way to make you operate up there the way they want you to. If not, they'll cut that camera off and they'll fix you. And you come back and you'll be talking like that. Remember them little defiant children says, "You ain't going to tell me what." Guess what? They'll tell you what to do and you'll do it. You may not tell them what to do, Mom and Daddy, but that prison officer will. He'll make them walk that line. And if they don't, what do they get for that? A night in a box. That's right. They'll put you somewhere, make you. Listen, I was watching Cops the other day, and they never had this back when I was in trouble. I never even saw this. They had this thing they put on a man's head, like a butterfly net. He tried to spit on one of them cops or bite him one. That dude just put that net on top of him. They tied him what's called a happy chair. We didn't have a happy chair back then. You know what we had? You had about 3 cops. So you going to straighten up? And you said no. They'd come in and straighten you up. They'd key you up real good. And I said, "Yes, sir. No, sir. Anything you want me to do, sir. Can I mop the floor? Can I clean the toilet? Anything you want done in this jail, I'll do it, sir." That's what you get. And now they have to tie them in a chair and put them in time out. I think we need to get rid of time out and go back to live action football like we've had a long time and say, "Listen, you parents do your job, the police do theirs, and we'll all get a better society out of it." Say amen right there. This is the only society in the world where the bad guys can get media coverage for doing something stupid, but if they do something to one of the good guys, you won't even find it on the news. Weird crowd we live with. We get to Christ, you know what he says? Christ is one that comes in and sets you free from the chains, sets you free from the cuffs, and said you're free to go anywhere you want. What about my court date? There is none. I've already had it. I've already took all your guilt, all your shame. You are free to go anywhere you want to. And I'm glad today I got saved. Listen, I walked away from that deal with this. I don't ever have to stand trial for the things I've done. I might would have on this side of the grave, but on that side of the grave, there'll never be a judgment because the judgment happened at Calvary. There's a lot of people today, they don't read their Bibles, and they think when we die, we're going to face judgment. It's already happened. If you die and face judgment, you go in the wrong direction. Our judgment happened at Calvary, where he judged your sin. He put it out there before himself, put his blood on it, and now it's taken as far as from the east as the west. God has forgiven that thing, and he's not only set you free, he made you free. Notice also the conversion of this freedom. He said in verse 1, being justified freely by his grace. There it is. How do we get the conversion of this freedom? It comes by grace. You're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. We didn't work to do it. We didn't get baptized to do it. There ain't enough water in this world to wash sin off anybody. And this world is over three-fourths water. There's not enough water in this world to baptize you with to get sin off you. But one trip to Calvary, God puts you under the blood, and you're completely free, and you've been converted. There's a thing, they call them wall warts. Have y'all seen these things? You know what a wall wart is? A little black device you plug into the wall. It's got a cord that runs to an electronic device, and it converts what that is, so it'll do something like this. It's a AC adapter, but we call them wall warts to be joking about them because they're big and ugly and all that. But here's the thing. Once you come to him, you don't need the conversion the more. You've already been converted. You ever wonder why lost people can't hear God? There's no converter there. They've never been converted to be able to take in the power of God. You know why your neighbors don't understand you and why they can't just figure out what you're doing and why? Well, why do you go down and let that man holler at you three times a week? Ain't you got any self-pride or dignity about you? You say, no, I left all that at Calvary. And listen, I got that under the blood because that's also a sin. So what I did was I humbled myself, came to Christ, and was saved, and he converted me. Now I can take the power of God Almighty, and he can do a work in my life. Not only that, he says in that verse, he said, being justified freely by his grace, watch this, here it is, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Do you see redemption that's in you in that verse anywhere? No, it's all in him, and we experience freedom in Christ. Do you know how many times before I got saved, do you know how many times I quit drugs? At least 30 times that I remembered. Yeah, and that's just the first week I started. Listen, I watched a lady one time. She was sitting at this table, and she pulled out a needle and tied off the thing on her arm and drew out that stuff. And I was sitting there watching her do that. I asked her a question. I said, why do you do that? And her exact response was, I can quit anytime I want. I knew right then. I didn't know nothing about the Bible, theology, nothing, but I knew that thing had her. She didn't have it. But I've watched the same thing with people with pills in their hand, pot in their pocket, and liquor in the cabinet. It's all the same thing. You don't have it. It has you. You know how I know? You can't walk away. Whatever that sin that does so easily beset you, it's a captor, not a captive. And people that sit around and drink, they'll tell me, oh, I can drink a beer anytime I want to. No, you can't. That thing will call you. You don't call it. You don't show up at the store to get your alcohol. You show up at the store to obey your master.
That's right.
You know why? You don't have any freedom. You've never experienced freedom. But it says right there, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That lets me know, listen, there's not only a conversion of that freedom, there's also a Christ to that freedom. There's only one who has the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He's the one that died on the cross. And according to this book, he rose again from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. And whosoever shall call upon him is going to be the one that's going to be saved. Whoever believes on him is going to be the ones that's saved. It's him that brings the freedom. Not only the freedom and the faith are things that you and I both have experienced, but we've also experienced forgiveness. We've experienced forgiveness. Look down at verse 25. Your Bible said, whom God has set forth to be this word right here, it's pronounced propitiation, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. That word propitiation talks about an atonement sacrifice that Jesus Christ made, and according to the words around it, God set it forth. Before the foundation of this world, God said Christ crucified for the sins of the world. But listen, God not only set it forth, listen to this, he said it's through faith in his blood. There's no other way to receive that propitiation, that experience of forgiveness that you have, where God forgives you for transgression against him. It's through faith in his blood. It also declares his righteousness, it says, of the sins that are past. I look how we experience forgiveness through this thing, and I'm reminded of this. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 says, "And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." What God does in Christ Jesus, he not only forgives us, but he forgives everybody if they'll come to him. If somebody said, "Well, God only died for the saved people," and he knew all along who would be saved, he might know that, but he set the offer out there for everybody so you won't face him one day and say, "You're not a just God. You didn't do that for me. You only did it for your crowd." And he's going to declare unto them, "I did it for everybody. I let my son die for all the sinners. I let him die for all of them." And you have no excuse when you stand before him. He did that, and we've experienced his forgiveness. I've heard it described like this: I felt like a building had been taken off of me. That wasn't a building, that was guilt. Just pure guilt. And the more of it you have, the heavier it gets. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What kind of rest? Forgiveness. And we experience forgiveness in Jesus Christ that this world never affords us to have. You say, "How do you know?" Do one thing that everybody knows. Just one thing that everybody thinks is bad. They'll never let you live it down. "Well, we won't talk about it in front of them anymore," but they talk about it behind your back. And they always will. Listen, you don't have to do this to prove it. You already know it. But if you were to go out of this building today, make you up the perfect plan to rob the bank in downtown Gaffney and get all the cash before you got to the city limit, they'd have you. You'd sit in prison and there'd be some educated convict saying, "Now what you did wrong was," "Well, why is he sitting there if he's so educated and knows how to do all that?" Remember the "you ain't gonna talk to me like that" crowd? I watched the man in court back talk that judge. You know what the judge did? He said, listen, he leaned over the microphone and he said, "Really? Arrest that man, give him 30 days for speaking out in my court without out of turn." Well, never. They'll never stand before God and say, "Well, you didn't send Jesus for me. You didn't do this and you didn't do that." He said, "I made a propitiation for the sins of the whole world." And they're going to say, "Well, how could I have known that?" Well, I had a Bible there for you. Amen. Can you hear God say, "Did you read your Bible?" What are they going to say? "Well, I read that thing every day, cover to cover, and I prayed all day long." Some of y'all saying y'all don't. Listen, they won't be that there. Not in heaven. And listen, the guilty, according to what God does, he says in verse 26, "To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just." See, that guilt that you had, you went from guilt to godly. All in 1 second. Why? Because where he died for you, now there's been an exchange there. You have his righteousness on your account, and God looks there at you, and if he didn't see Jesus Christ's righteousness, he'd just see the same old sinner he saw. Now he sees somebody that has been forgiven. He says, "I got to look at them as if they've never done anything and love them like I love my own son who never sinned." Who is godliness in a human body, who's God manifest in the flesh. This same Jesus, listen, the guilty is now godly because the godly became guilt for you. What a great trade that is. You did nothing and he lost everything. You give up all your sins, he took every one of them. That's what he did. And the best part about this of experiencing forgiveness is the glory all belongs to the Lord, because it says, "To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." You don't get credit. He gets all the credit. I've been to these meetings where they talk about these things. They say, "Hi, my name is such and such." Everybody says, "Howdy, such and such. And I'm a drug addict, or I'm an alcoholic, or I'm a whatever the anonymous things, but whatever they are." And they'll tell what their problems are. And everybody says, "Bless your heart, we're praying for you," and all this other stuff. And that will make you feel good up to a point. They'll tell you in them things, "You need to go out and fix this and do this and all this other stuff." and all this other things they'll teach you like that. But when you come to Jesus Christ, you don't have to go through the steps. He went through all of them for you. Listen, I didn't know anything about this stuff, and somebody said, now, did you go through the 12-step program when you got saved? I said, I think it's about 12 steps where I got to where I got saved at, something like that. They said, no, we mean that book. I said, what book? And the brother Steve gave me, I never even knew what it was. I didn't even know what the steps was. And I got to reading through them, and I got to thinking, boy, all that happened when I got saved. It really did. God took away all that. You know why? He wanted to. And he had the power to do it. But he didn't just bring faith and freedom with him. He brought forgiveness. And when he brought forgiveness, he got all the glory, because it wasn't me forgiving God. It was God forgiving me. When somebody comes to me and says, will you forgive me for such and such? I don't have a choice, do I?
Amen.
You don't know what was going on before I got saved, do you? And listen, because it's under the blood, I ain't telling you. I don't mind telling what I was, but I ain't going to glorify sin too much. But I know this, what I did to him is far worse than you'd ever do to me, no matter what it was. I've heard people say, well, they some people done some things to me, and I've got it wrote down at the house case, and never forget it. Oh, bless your heart. You going to keep a record? What if God pulled your record out just since you've been saved? Who'd stand up bragging then? Not one of us. But he said, I put it under the blood. It's forgiven. I've forgiven them. And listen, you can't walk around.